The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org
Need for people to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to the church is important. You see, there are two pillars of spiritual growth. There are two pillars of spiritual growth. And there are two, when I mean there are two pillars of spiritual growth, I do not mean the foundation of spiritual growth. I mean pillars. You know, every serious structure has foundation and pillars. Amen. So the foundation of your walk with God is your faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus is your foundation. If you do not believe in Jesus, you don't even have a spiritual foundation to start with. We are all built on that foundation. But in order for you to grow spiritually, there are some things that must happen to you deliberately and intentionally. You see, it's possible, just like physically speaking, it happens that you can plant something, maybe a tree, a mango tree or something, and that tree will just be stunted and it won't grow. And then they say it's disease. I still remember when I was much younger, growing up, we had different trees in our compound. There was, and many of them did very well. But for some reason, the orange tree did not do well. It was stunted. We did all kinds. At the end of the day, we had to remove that tree. The last time I went home, I was drinking orange from another tree they planted in another part of the compound that had grown. And this tree didn't, this one that had brought orange, that was drinking the orange, very nice oranges. That tree hadn't been there for more than 4 years before it started bringing real fruits. This one I'm talking about, I think they planted it before I entered university. By the time I graduated, I did a 5-year course. When you add ASU strike, it's more than 5 years. By the time I graduated, that tree had not brought any fruit. It was still there. They would put fertilizer. I don't even know why they were wasting so much time on it. At the end of the day, they removed it. You see, child of God, there are some Christians that are like that tree. They are not growing. They are not fruitful. They are not fruitful. And looking at it now in retrospect, I realized that that tree, the problem was that it had a disease. It was diseased. That was why it didn't grow. Some believers, the reason why they are not growing is not because they are not receiving sound doctrine. The general reason why believers don't grow is because of lack of sound doctrine. That's the general. If you see, if you go to when I came back to Otta, it hadn't rained for like 2 months after I went for our conference. The month before I go and throw out, I was gone. It didn't rain. I still remember I went to the office, and you know that there are some farms inside that compound. And I told them, my brother Emma, because he has a farm there. I remember when he had a farm, and we're like, okay, you know, this idea that, okay, so harvest, cultivate very well. When is his harvest time, you will see me. Some people do that a lot. When is harvest time, you will see me. So, because when you plant like that in such an official office farm, the harvest is usually more than what you can consume. So I had put I, because it's my brother, we pray together in the office and all of that. He's supposed to be, if I didn't invite him, he probably would have been here. And he told me, he said his things are dying. He planted ugu, he planted some other things. He said they are dying. I said, ah, why? He said that it had not rained for about 2 months. And you can interpret this story any way you like, but I'll tell you my own interpretation of the story. He said it had not rained for like 2 months. And I said, don't worry, it will rain. I've come. It will rain. You see, why I had the courage to talk like that was because I knew that God sent me to this land. You see, people may not know me, but the principalities know me. And I'm not just talking about myself so that we won't start feeling special. Everyone that God sent, because there are some people that God sent to this land for a season. And if God sent you to a land, you must be very careful to take possession of your spiritual throne and your authority. Praise the Lord. There are some things that are not permitted to happen. Do you know why Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared if there were 10 righteous people in that land? Because those 10 righteous people would have been sent people. You may have been born in a land and not sent. And you may have been born in a land, and even though you were born in the land, the time will come, you start having a walk with God, and you realize that your being born in that land was not a coincidence. You're being born again in that land. God sent you to that land as a gatekeeper in the spirit, as a priest. The Bible says that ours is a kingdom of kings and priests. Praise the Lord. So I told him, I said, don't worry, it will rain. Now, I didn't just tell him, I went to pray. Because I knew when I was coming, it rained on the way. And incidentally, when I was coming, I came by road from Benue. You know, I traveled from Lokoja to Makurdi. There was an air-conditioned bus. I said, this one, I spent all my money on conference, paying for hotel. Let me enter free bus instead of paying how many thousands to fly. So I came by road and it rained. It was even raining in Lagos. And I know that thing they say used to happen in Ota, where some people will hold the rain. Like it's currently happening right now, and it will soon stop. So when I told him that, I went back and I went to pray. I said, Lord, it rained. The long and short was that it rained the next day. It rained the next day. And that is how the rain started falling, falling, falling. But meanwhile, when I went to the market to go and buy vegetable, if you see how this taunted ugu that they brought, and they say it was 100 naira, like half of what I normally say, because there was no rain. Now, when you see plants not growing, generally speaking, it is because they don't have rain, or they don't have nutrient, they don't have water, or they don't have nutrient. What is the water? If you read Ephesians chapter 5, it says that, okay, let's read Ephesians chapter 5. 5, we'll start from verse 1. If you are there, read that.
All right. Therefore,
yes,
the imitator of God has their children. Like one.
Go on.
And walk in love as Christ also has loved us.
Now he's giving them instructions concerning conduct. Go ahead, sir.
And giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma.
Go ahead.
But the fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting or for sale.
Okay, pause. Now, Apostle Paul is giving them a guideline for conduct. He's giving them a guideline for conduct. Now, if you read on, you talk about being filled with the Spirit, because you cannot live your life cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit if you are not filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is not just what happened that day you were speaking in tongues. You understand? It's not what happened when they lay hands on you and baptized in the Holy Ghost. No. That is the day you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit is a state of being. But that's not where I'm going to. Read them verse 22. Sorry, read verse 25. Let's just jump to it. Yes.
Love your wife.
Yes.
Just as Christ also loved the church.
Yes.
And gave himself for her.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
That he might sanctify and cleanse her.
Yes.
With the washing of water.
Yes. And the word. Wow. If you read this down, I was reading this, I think was it yesterday or the first day? And I didn't plan to talk about this I didn't plan to preach about this when I was reading it. Do you realize that? He says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. In fact, Paul went ahead to talk about marriage. At the end of this thing, he said, actually, he's talking about Christ and the church. He's not talking about, what he was really talking about was Christ and the church. You know, Paul wasn't married by the time he was writing this. And yet, he could write so accurately about marriage because his own strategy was using the pattern. He had so much revelation that he could see the original pattern of marriage. It's just like if you're an architect and you see the original plan, you'll be able to describe it better than somebody who is just seeing the product of bad workmanship. Praise the Lord. Now, he said that as Christ loved, so the real pattern, the model of marriage is the relationship of Christ with the church. But this is where I'm going to. He says that he may sanctify her with the cleansing and the washing of water by the word. I can show you other scriptures that talk about how that the word of God is the water of the spirit. Praise the Lord. So when you see a plant that is not growing, there are a number of reasons. One of the reasons is because there is no water. Just like if rain just stops falling now, plants will stop growing. Any plant that you see that is still growing is because its root has gone deep enough to touch water. If you want to grow spiritually, you cannot separate yourself. You cannot divorce yourself from the ministry of the word. That is why meetings like this are very, very important. Because you come to a place like this and the word of God is being shared. Don't ever neglect such gatherings. I notice that people are more interested in prayer meetings because they want to solve their problems. And that's okay. But when you are interested in prayer meetings, also be interested in where you come to hear the word of God and understand what the word of God. So the Bible refers to the word of God as water. That water does not just wash us, it nourishes us. You know what the things that water do to us? Now, there's another reason why believers don't grow. Just like that tree. That tree's problem was not water. That tree's problem was disease. What causes spiritual disease? Most of it, because you are born again, just like a newborn baby that is born of an, but you see the difference between when you were born again, the Bible says that you were born with an incorruptible seed by the word of God. You were born of an incorruptible seed. So what it means is that, spiritually speaking, you were not born with any spiritual disease. You know, there are some children that are born, and even from when they were in the womb, they already had certain issues. Health issues. They have a deformed heart. There are some children that are born and they have jaundice even from when they are babies. You see, nobody who is born again is born with a spiritual disease. But spiritual diseases abound among people who are spiritually alive. So where do they now get spiritual diseases from? People get spiritual disease from communication. What is communication? Your company. The Bible talks about how evil communication corrupts. That's why the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And I didn't just talk about communication with people, because that's one of the most potent ways, because human to human transmission of a disease is more potent than animal to human transmission. Praise the Lord. Human to human transmission of disease is more potent than human to object transmission in most cases. So what I'm saying is that this is a bottle of water. If I drink this bottle of water and I have a communicable disease, and then somebody else takes this bottle of water and drinks it, you understand what I'm saying? He can catch the disease. See, that's what happens when you watch a movie that is a corrupt movie. The person who produced the movie, he has a spiritual disease. And then you took the movie and watched it. The way you know somebody has a, when you see a person, a movie in which immorality is a living theme inside the movie. You know, there are some movies when they show things, they show fornication in those movies. It doesn't add to the substance of the story. That is, the fornication is not, it doesn't, it's not part of the narrative. It's just that they must show it. And then they show somebody that is naked. Do you know that Game of Thrones would have been as good as it was if they didn't show naked? For those of you who watched it, I only attempted to watch one season. I bought three DVDs. By the time I started watching that one season, I removed the three remaining DVDs. I had already even downloaded them into my system. I removed the DVDs, threw them away, and deleted all the files. Now, there are many people that watch Game of Thrones, and I'm not judging anybody, but what I'm saying is that there are many movies that when you watch, they are good stories, but they also carry viruses, spiritual viruses. And when you watch those movies, they sow seeds of immorality or seeds of all kinds of things. Some Some people commit suicide because of the movies that they watch. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to explain to you how people come in contact with disease. But the most potent way is human to human. Human to human. Everybody, there's been so much talk about the pandemic. And then, they have been limiting all kinds of large gatherings, you know, because of human to human transmission. What is human to human transmission? The Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If your best friend is a fornicator, you will soon be a fornicator. I don't care how much you feel that you are strong spiritually. You spend, whenever you have time to spend, you are spending it with a fornicator. People are sitting down and discussing nonsense. I'm talking to you. You. That word is for you from the Lord. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. Praise the Lord. It is your, that is where you are born again. You were born with an incorruptible seed. You were not born with any spiritual disease. But you want to contract different kinds of spiritual diseases. You will contract it from people, from unbelievers who have corruption in their soul. So the Bible says evil communication corrupts. Praise the Lord. You see, if you don't know these things, you wonder why you are struggling spiritually. Praise the Lord. Have we not seen some plants that they are looking, they are looking, they are sleeping. As soon as rain falls, they wake up. They are looking one kind. As soon as rain falls, they will wake up. Let me tell you something. There are some times in my life where I feel spiritually dry. So dry. Prayer is a struggle. Studying the word of God is just because of strict discipline. And then I go to a gathering of God's people. And then the water of the word is released. And then I find that I come back alive again. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why you come to such a place. If it is true that we are dealing with the word of God, you discover that after you leave this gathering, you are spiritually rejuvenated. Because that is what, it is not about who is teaching, it's about what is being taught. Who is teaching is also important. You understand? Because clean water can't come out of a dirty faucet. Praise the Lord. At least generally speaking. So, you must be careful to give yourself. Why do you think I keep giving you messages to listen to? Because for me, many times, one of the ways I get rejuvenated in the spirit. Because sometimes, you've seen plants now. Now that it has not rained for some time, go and study plants. You see where they are just, they are, even though they are alive, but they are one kind, they are weak. But let rain fall today, and go and look at them tomorrow, you see that they are rejuvenated. They are shining again. That's what happens when you come in contact with the word of God. The Bible says that he may present her spotless. And it talks about the washing of water by the word. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Now, remember we are talking about the water of the word, disciplines that will ensure that you grow. So there are some of you here. You have smartphones. Like you have a smartphone. You remember I was interrogating you this morning. And you don't have messages in your smartphones. What is the use of smartphone if there are no messages? What is the use of smartphone? You don't know that one reason why God, it may look as if I'm joking, but I'm very serious. One reason why God allowed there to be smartphones all over the place is so that the word of God can spread. These messages that you have now, just conquer, you own your Zender, and I send 100 sermons to you. 20 years ago, you know what used to happen? Those were 100 CDs that you would buy with your money. 25 years ago, they were 100 cassette tapes. At some point, they would say, kindly turn over to the next. There was no way you would carry 100 cassette tapes all around. The way you carry them in your phone. Because the Bible says in the last days, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Guy, The glory of God increases the more you, you know, just like the glory of a plant increases the more there is water. He says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The dimension of the glory of God that is supposed to be manifested in my life and your life should be better than those things we read in God's generals. Do you know why? Because we have more exposure to the word of God. Are you getting my point? But do you notice that with the smartphone has also come some kinds of distraction? Eh? You know now, pornography is a click away. Those days, you have to go and buy Tell magazine. And it was still not as active as a click away. Do you remember? I remember when I was in secondary school, I just saw, you see student gathered around this one Tell. Is it Tell? No, it's not Hint. Okay, Tell is also there. All those rotten, and those things, they were not as bad as a one click away. So, as this thing can stream volumes of life to you, it can also stream volumes of darkness to you. Praise the Lord. That's why you must be wise. You must be wise. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The easiest way you expose yourself to real demons, is by watching pornography. You give them license to enter your life. How do you deal with demons? You cast them out. And you see, that's the reason why you find that people are addicted to watching pornography, is because demons are involved. Most of the time, if you are a Christian and you love God and there's something that you are doing and you don't like it but you can't stop, it's because demons are involved. And how do you handle that? It is by casting those demons out. If you discover that you don't have authority to cast out the demons, reach out to somebody who has authority and say, I have this problem and I want these demons to be cast out of my life. Praise the Lord. The first deliverance I ever did online was to get somebody delivered from demons. He got those demons through pornography. He called me. I've never met him before. He's in another country. And I prayed with him over the phone and the Lord delivered him. That was about 4 years ago. Till today, he's doing wonderfully spiritually. He's a servant of God now. So you reach out and get yourself free. You don't use the formula for the flesh to handle demons. You see how you handle the flesh, because there are works of the flesh. Then there are activities of demons. And you can love God sincerely, but there's an opening that has given demons a certain kind of power in your life. And how you handle that is by casting those demons out. How do you handle the works of the flesh? It's by the cross. What is the cross? How is the cross administered? It's by the teaching of the word. Praise the Lord. Now remember, I talked about that there are two pillars. I talked about the foundation. What's the first pillar I can identify now? It is preaching. Preaching. There are some things that are preached to you. And when preaching is actually an instrument for impartation, it's one of the most potent ways people receive impartation. I'm telling you now that preaching is okay. Let's read Luke chapter 18. No. Yeah, Luke chapter 4 verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Do you notice that the gospel is preached? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now look at the next part. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. So he's preaching deliverance to the captive and he's preaching recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. If somebody is spiritually blind, they need preaching, not teaching. Praise the Lord. If somebody is bound, they need preaching. Many times, if you bring people who are spiritually bound and you are teaching them, you will teach them. They are bonded, you know. Because there are dynamics of preaching and there are dynamics of teaching. For example, a lot of what I've been doing since, I've been doing some teaching, but I've also been doing a lot of preaching. Because when you are preaching, you are proclaiming. I was explaining that in the last, I think it was in the last word encounter, I was explaining that. That when you are preaching, you are proclaiming. When you are teaching, you are explaining. When you are preaching, you are proclaiming. You are saying this is what God's word says concerning you. That if you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you are advertising something. Do you understand? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So all you need to do in order for you to receive the benefit of a preaching is to believe what is being said. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for example, somebody comes and says that. The Bible says that in Christ you are free. You are free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? You say yes. That means you are not supposed to be under bondage. That's preaching. Praise the Lord. He's not explaining to you the dynamic. He's just telling you what's obtainable. And by faith, when you begin to believe, because you receive salvation by faith. And real deliverance, you also receive it by faith. Recovering of sight. In fact, general recovery. Do you know there are some people, they are 35 years old. For example, there's a 25-year-old boy, and according to God's plan, that guy should have graduated and finished 7. But he's still in 200 level. He's supposed to have been sending money to his parents, but he's still in 200 level, calling his uncles and saying, send me money for a recharge card. That's not the will of God. How you bring such a guy out of that cycle is by the preaching of the word of God and telling him that, see, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are set free. And if he believes that by faith in Christ Jesus, he will be free. And then he believes in Christ Jesus, he will begin to see the manifestation of the freedom. Are we getting? Now, what I'm saying is that you preach recovery. There are many people that need recovery that are hearing me today, and by the word of God that is coming today, you will receive recovery in Jesus' name. You see, the Bible says that God has the ability to restore years. He said, I will restore the years that the cankerworm, the locust, the palmerworm, the caterpillar has stolen from you. He said, I will restore. Normally, word encounter is not a preaching, but you notice that I switched into the preaching gear recently. You see, it's not a preaching meeting, it's a teaching meeting. Because preaching does not make anybody become anything. It only helps people to receive things. But when you want to make somebody into something, you want them to become, for example, you want to make someone to become an engineer, it happens through a teaching process, a teaching curriculum. So, if you want to grow spiritually, because this life is very spiritual. In fact, we understand by faith that the things that we see were created from the things that are not seen. We understand that the spiritual realm or the spiritual controls the physical. That the unseen controls the seen. Amen. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the unseen realm controls the physical. Even physically, we know that the bacteria that kill people, they are not seen. But there are things, there are spiritual realities that control this physical realm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, as we are speaking now, the Spirit of God is here. But you see, if you don't know how to deal with the Holy Spirit, you will miss him. If you don't know how to interface with the Holy Spirit, you will miss him. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, we take authority over this environment and we ask that the presence of the Holy Spirit will fill this place in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's open to 1 John chapter 5. I told Bro Yemi before you people came that we're going to do exegesis today. Mm-hmm. Exegesis, Bible exegesis. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So, we will start from verse 1. And then we would jump to verse 7 and verse 8. Okay, by the time we read verse 1, Bro, let me read from that translation. I'll echo you.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God.
okay, wait. What makes you a child of God? That you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Nathaniel, what made you a child of God is not that you say, Father, today. Mm-mm. What makes you a child of God is that you believe. Do you understand? Because you can go to church and you pray. You can go to NIBG and you will pray. And you are not a child of God. Because you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what does it mean? What does that phrase mean? What does that mean that Jesus is the Christ? Because what is the meaning of that word Christ? That word Christ is the same word Messiah. It's the Greek word for Messiah, yes. Messiah means the anointed of God. The chosen of God. You see, in every human philosophy of those days, they had an understanding. Even till today, if you study every religion, especially those that predate Christianity, I think the only major religion that is younger than Christianity is Islam today. You will discover that they were expecting somebody to come. And this somebody that they were expecting to come, for the Jews, he was the Messiah. For the Buddhists, they had a name they were calling a perfect man who was a God man. Even for the Grail Message, as a recent religion, they have, I've forgotten the name, I don't remember, there's a name, is it Mahanta or something? They had this understanding that there needed to be a person in order to, because the fall of man, anybody that understands spiritual things, I don't even mean that you are born again, anybody that has journeyed into the spirit realm small, has an understanding that human beings, the way we are, is not, we are, something happened along the way. We are not, what's going on in the human experience today is a product of something that went wrong at some point. Even the Muslims maintain that narrative, that there was a time that man fell. Are we together? You know, if you are driving a car and the car is supposed to be moving, but you're hearing in one of the wheels and it's slowing down the movement of the car, you don't need to be too intelligent to know that there is something wrong with that car. People that have spiritual intelligence know that this is the way humankind is not the design. Something went wrong along the way. So in every culture, like the Jews understood that there was a man that was going to come. Even though he was a man, he was going to be a link between man and God. You will find that there is this understanding that in order for there to be peace between the spirit realm and the physical realm, there has to be a man or a woman that is half from us and half from them. And that one person will be the mediator between us and them. Are we together? So there was an understanding that the Messiah was going to come. Now the Jews don't doubt that the Messiah will come. The issue was that they said Jesus is not the Messiah. Because the way they expected the Messiah to come, and it wasn't even, he actually came the way the prophet said he would come. But their hearts were darkened by the devil, the Pharisees, because what happened was that there's a story behind how the Phariseeism and Sadduceeism started. It was an intentional corruption of the Jewish religion by darkness. So these were the people that resisted Jesus when Jesus came. If you go and study about how the Phariseeism and Sadduceeism started. That is after the book of Malachi. It was an intentional effort to corrupt that religion. And by the time Jesus Christ came, they were the ones that were leading in the church. Today we have a Jesuit Pope. That's the first Jesuit Pope that we've had in the history of the Catholic Church. And notice that recently he said there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Because that society of Jesus Christ, that society they call Jesuits, anybody that knows about Catholicism knows that they are the most dangerous sect in the Catholicism. They can infiltrate any part of government. They can be they can have sleeper cells for 50 years. What I mean sleeper cells? They will be in the government. The purpose they are there, they won't do anything. And they will continue from generation to generation. But when they say it is time to operate, everybody will be set loose. Before Jesuit, let me tell you, explain what happened, how Jesuits, that society started. When Martin Luther, the reformer in Germany, started teaching, you know, allowing Christians to have exposure to the Bible, and the Protestant movement started. Because of the truth, you know, truth is powerful. Because of the truth of God's word, the Protestant movement was growing like wildfire. So many people, so many. And what was happening was that it was Catholics, Roman Catholics, that were converting from. Now, Catholicism today is very different from Catholicism then. Even Catholicism has experienced a lot of reformation, positive reformation. Because those days, if you committed a sin, you would pay money for God to forgive your sins. I'm not kidding. You would pay money. To this day, yes, it was business. And they were the ones controlling the world. Because what happened was that before the church was corrupted, by the time of the third generation church, you know, before Apostle Paul died, he had an agenda to preach the gospel in everywhere that there are human beings, and he succeeded. But they didn't know that there were people in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa. They only knew to the Ethiopians. It was people like David Livingstone that discovered some parts of Africa. And the rest of the civilized world knew that there were other people living who were cut off from civilization. And they wanted to go into all of that. So, by the third generation church, the third century church, they had already taken over the known world. Literally. A number of things that happened. Constantine became saved. They had already taken over the known world. There were no more idols in Rome. The only God they were serving in Rome. And Rome was the empire, was the power of the world. The church was that powerful. And then governments were being administered by the power of the church. But this is the point I'm making. By the time Martin Luther preached, there were a number of people that preached before Martin Luther, but they were not as famous. Well, Martin Luther was one of the major reformers. Protestant movement, they called them Protestant because they protested against the church. You and I are Protestants today. If you are not a Roman Catholic, you are a Protestant. You understand? If you've ever grown up in a barrack before, you will understand that very well. You understand? Because you see Catholic church and you see Protestant church. And then it's standard barrack. I don't know how that barrack here is, but any real barrack, you see Catholic church, you see Protestant church. Yes. Now, the great army the Protestants were taking over was becoming scary. Then they now created the order of Jesus Christ. That's what they call the Deus Jesuits. When you say this off record. They are the ones that understand how to infuse. And as soon as this Jesuit order started, the growth of Protestant was limited and Catholics stopped converting to become Protestants. It took a number of... Now, here's my opinion. Something similar also happened with the Jewish religion. And the agenda of the devil was to ensure that when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came, the Jews would reject him. So these people worked themselves up to become the most influential group in the Jewish religion. The Pharisees, they had their ways. Praise the Lord. And so that is why when the people who were supposed to be the ones that were embraced Jesus came, they were the ones that crucified him. Who were the people that cheered the crucifixion of Jesus? Was it not the priests? The Pharisees? They were the ones. So they didn't believe that Jesus is the Christ. In different cultures, they have an idea. That's not today, because if today, anybody that is seeking God, has heard Jesus Christ, is not seeking God, he's just looking for power. But before Jesus came, all groups of people were seeking for God. Do you remember when Paul went to preach in Athens? And then, because Paul was a, you know, Paul used to be a Pharisee. Those guys were some of the most educated Jews. They were very cerebral people. Paul studied the culture of the Athenians. And then, he noticed that there was this particular altar that was made, raised to an unknown God. Now, you can look at the sermon that Paul preached on Mars Hill. You see, Paul understood, he found their search for reality. Because all of those religions, all other gods, they are the works of men. You are the only God. There is none like you. If you go to any group of people that have never had the gospel, and they are sincere in their search of spiritual reality, and you can show them Jesus, if they believe that Jesus is the Christ, they will be children of God. I know I've gone a little bit academic, so let's come back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nathaniel, are you still here? All right. So, where did you read last? Yes. That whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is what? Has become a child of God. So every religion then, every sincere religion, because there were all kinds of, the Jews were not the only people that were seeking God. Every sincere religion then was looking for a Christ. The Jews called him the Messiah. But we can see that the Greeks, there was a Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were looking for that Savior. And anyone that believes that Jesus is that Savior has become the Son of God. You people know the story. No, I'm sure you don't. Should I tell us that story of those people in Egba? Was it Egba land? Somewhere, current Ogun State now. Thank God we are in Ogun State. Who were, before the missionaries came, they were practicing their religion and they were praying. And then an angel or somebody appeared to some of those Ifa priests and told them that there are some people that are coming. They will show you the way, what you are looking for. When they come, receive them. Not long later, missionaries, white missionaries came to their land with the gospel. While other Africans were killing them, other people in what is now Nigeria were persecuting the missionaries, these people, they adopted the missionaries. They welcomed them. That is why till today, spiritually speaking, the most advanced place in Nigeria is in Ogun State. Spiritually speaking. And the most prominent Nigerians that have ever, that we know, are from Ogun State. I hope you know that. The Wole Soyinkas, the Fed, even, they are from Ogun State. Because they were, you see, the Bible says that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's word. He said, when you come, because those missionaries were actually apostles. It's the same word, missionary apostle. Go and check it out. Jesus Christ said that when you go and preach and they receive you, he said, your peace can rest upon them. So these were the first group of people that received, they opened their arms. But here was the, because anything that is good that God is doing, the devil also tried to corrupt it. Now, here is my own idea, because of the spiritual understanding that God has given me. It's not that I've done extensive research into this. Because of that, they didn't see Christianity as a new way, even though it was a new way. And the person that appeared to those Ifa priests told them that these people that will come, they will come not long from now. When they come, accept them. They accepted those white people. They came and brought the Christian faith, and the major entrance of Christianity into this part of the world, this part of Africa, was through that them. Praise the Lord. Now, probably because of the way Christianity came, so you can imagine that the Ifa priests became the first converts. There was probably some issue with properly divorcing Christianity from that, their traditional religion, which was just a corruption of darkness. And that's why today you see that there are many people today in Ogun State. They go to church and shout hallelujah, but they have charms in their house. Am I saying the truth? It is because that was... Now, You know what happened with those people? Those fathers, those forefathers in Ogun State, they received Christ as. I don't know what they were calling him then, but there was somebody that they were expecting because they had never heard the gospel. So they received Christ as their Messiah. And they were saved. Later down along the way, just like even with the real church, the first generation church, corruption came in. I hope you know that full-blown Catholicism, you know, not what they are doing now, because what they are doing now has been really reformed. It was pure idolatry. Pure. Pure. I don't want to go into it. Serious idolatry. If I tell you the history of some of those practices that they say is merely that they are honoring, you will cry. Mother of God. Pure idolatry. But thank God for what the Lord has been doing in the Catholic Church. Because there are many believers in the Catholic Church today. So now we have a Jesuit priest. Remember the history of those Jesuits? And we have a Jesuit priest that has become the first Jesuit pope. And remember how we got there? A sitting pope that did not die resigned because they put pressure on him. And then he became the pope. And now we are seeing that they are already trying to legalize homosexuality in the Roman Catholic Church. That's unheard of. The next time you are praying for the body of Christ, remember to pray for our brethren in the Roman Catholic Church. That the corruption of the physical head, the figurehead, will not affect the rest of the body. In Jesus' name. Now, continue.
We know.
We know we love God's children if we what? Love God and obey His commandment. Now, you need to realize that thing was not written in English. It was written in Greek. You can also put that statement this way. We know that if you love God and obey His commandment, you will love God's children. Let me explain something to you. The first time I saw Bro Yemi, I was stepping out of the compound and I was wearing, I think it was a striped shirt. I don't remember what he was wearing, but the first time I saw him, as soon as I saw him, I knew that he was born again. It was a kindred spirit. The first time I saw this guy, Nathaniel, even though Nathaniel is a spiritual baby, the first time I saw him, even though he's a spiritual baby, the first time I saw him, I knew that he was born again. How did I know? I can't explain it. How does a dog know how to bark? Can it explain it? But you see, what happens is that, and that thing there is a spirit of love. What I mean is that when you see a believer, you give preference to a believer. Because of that kindred spirit. There are many people that say that. Now, it's possible for a person to have been born of God and not grow spiritually, but it doesn't mean that his seed is not there. I didn't want you to be distracted. I would sleep. That was why I told you to stand up. You are blessed. Sit down. How do you know? Like this young man, I still remember the first time I saw him. I knew he was not born again at all. In fact, I didn't believe that he could be born again. I'm telling you the truth. The person I believed that could be born again was the other Samuel. But when he became born again, without him telling me, I knew. Well, maybe it's so for me because the Lord has given me the rare ability of discerning of spirit. So it's maybe stronger. But every believer has a level of a measure of discernment. Because discernment is a measure of spiritual life. You don't have to be a prophet, for example, to hear from God. Because every believer, by virtue of your spiritual life, if you are spiritually alive, you have a measure of hearing. Amen. You don't have to be a prophet to see visions. Because by virtue of your spiritual life, you have spiritual sight. And you have spiritual sensitivity. Because it's spiritual sensitivity that makes you see visions. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be a prophet for you to know some things, for you to walk in some measure of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Because, do you understand? You don't have to have that spiritual gift necessarily. You just need to be alive. A spiritual gift is an enhancement of a spiritual sense. If you were writing down to that, that would have been a good thing to write. A spiritual gift is an enhanced spiritual sense. You know, physically, you have how many senses? 5. The sense that allows you to smell. It can be likened to the sense that allows you in the spirit to discern. The sense that allows you to hear. In the spirit, it can be likened to the sense that allows you to hear. The sense that allows you to see in the spirit is the sense that allows you to know. Amen. In the spirit is the sense that the Bible says that the eyes of your understanding may enlighten that you may know the exceeding greatness. The Christians in the church in Laodicea, they had physical wealth, but Jesus Christ said they were blind. And what was the function? They didn't know. He said they didn't know spiritual value. And so he said they should buy of him gold. Praise the Lord. Now, he says, how you will know? See, let me tell you, do you want to know if you love God? Because, you know, the proof that you're a child of God is a native love for God. I'm not even talking about the one you learn, because there is love whereby you discipline yourself to love. I'm talking about native love. What do I mean by native love? There are some things that you, it's just like, I want to give you a simple example. How do the babies know that they are supposed to suck? You know, if you bring a new baby, put your hand on their mouth, they will start sucking it. How do they know? Which school did they teach them that? It's a native knowledge. Intuitive knowledge. There are many things that you know. There are many things that being a human being is native. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, love for God is native to a believer. One of the ways that you will know that you have truly been born of God, because it's possible for you to think you are born of God and you are not born of God. One of the ways you will know that you are truly a child of God is that you have love for God.
Can I get a small pole or something?
One of the ways you know that you are truly a child of God is that you love God. And one of the ways that you love God is that you will discover that you have that love for God's people. How do you know? You know, he talks about that. What makes you a child of God is that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that Christ means that he's the anointed one of God. Even though he's, because you know, Jesus Christ being the Christ means that he's man and he's God. God-man. But what that also means is that because of that, he becomes your leader. He becomes your master. Because he's the one that is linking you and saving you from the fall and the consequence of the fall. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now let me try. Amen. Remember I said that if you drive a car that has bad wheels, you will just know that this is not the way the car was designed. Anybody that has any level of spiritual intelligence, anybody in the past, whether before Jesus came, among all different, because every group of human beings under the face of the earth must worship something. And the reason why we worship something is because we know that there is something broken and we are looking for a savior. When you find anybody that does not believe that there is God, it's a product of foolishness. You know what foolishness is? So David will say the fool is the one that says in his heart that there is no God. Everybody knew that there was a higher realm that we were disconnected from, and everybody was looking for a way to connect. And for people that had sufficient spiritual intelligence, they got to the point of realizing that there was somebody that was to come who was going to be the ultimate bridge. Because even though he would be one of us, he won't come from here. He will come from that realm. Heaven. If you believe that Jesus is that Messiah. Now, what it means to believe that Jesus is that Messiah is that, of course, and all of those societies understood that whoever that Messiah was going to become their king. So, for example, the Jews were a good example. They were called him the Messiah. The Greeks, well, Christ.